I can get wound up sometimes. And I didn't know where I was at last night, so preacher said, you're kind of short. And so I'm just going to make sure tonight, amen. So I had back about 27 years ago, had a great man of God. His name was Jack White. In fact, we eat supper with him, and he died of a massive heart attack when we finished eating supper that night. But Brother Jack said about the third row back, and church in Virginia started at 11 o'clock. At 12 o'clock, he would go exactly at 12. He'd go, so everybody knew it was time for me to quit at 12 o'clock. But we're glad you're here tonight. Good to see all of you here tonight. And bigger crowd tonight. Praise God for you being here. Preacher, years ago, he had a man in church was giving him some trouble. Not bad stuff, just some things he needed to work on. And he said, boy, he would hit it and hit it. And the man would always come out shaking. Preacher, that was just great preaching. Boy, you give it to him tonight. You told him tonight, preacher, that was great preaching. Well, it come a blizzard. It come a bad blizzard. And the only one that showed up was that man. Preacher said, buddy, I'm going to tell him tonight. I'm going to give it to him tonight so he'll just know. Ain't nobody here but him. I'm preaching to him. So preacher went on, preached, and just like he normally would, and when it was over with, preacher stood at the back like he always did, and that man walked back, and he said, man, preacher, that was the best preaching tonight. If they would have been here, they would have got it tonight. So tonight, I pray we all get it, amen? Amen. And I had a message I wanted to preach so bad. I told Miss Kimber last night, I says, I'm praying about a special message for Thursday night, and God just won't let me preach it tonight, but I'll put it on the back burner. I'll give you the title of it that makes it interested. And by the way, a lot of people, they just remember your titles and they remember your jokes. A lot of times you ask what the preacher preached 2 weeks ago, and you'll kind of go, well. So I put a lot of emphasis on the titles. And the title of the message I wanted to preach tonight was entitled Potted Meat, Sodas, and Crackers. And so I put that on the back burner, and maybe somewhere along the line I'll get to preach that. But I want you to take your Bible tonight and turn to James chapter 4 and verse 14. I asked the question last night for you that wasn't here. I asked the question, and some of you couldn't. It's good to see you folks back. Some, you know, the devil always fights when you try to have a revival meeting, does it? Man, sickness and falling and man, I tell you, it just, it happens. Everything in the world can happen when it comes. The devil doesn't want God's people to have revival. And I mentioned the question I asked you. And by the way, last night I said, after tonight, the meeting's going to be a third over. After tonight, it's going to be two-thirds over. And so I want to encourage you to be here tomorrow night. Now, if you have at home a small umbrella, if you have a small umbrella, I want you to bring that umbrella tomorrow night. If you have a small umbrella, I want you to bring that umbrella tomorrow night. So if you bring, yes, an umbrella tomorrow night. And tomorrow night at the end, again, the message, I use props a lot of times, I use titles, and I want to drive it home in your heart. So if you have a small umbrella, not a big one, I want you knocking somebody in the head tomorrow night, just a small umbrella. There will be a point in time at the end, my prayer is we'll open that umbrella. And so I pray that you'll bring an umbrella tomorrow night. But tonight, I asked a question last night. What is keeping you from having revival? And when I say you, I'm not pointing fingers at you. If I point a finger at you, I got others pointing back at me. This includes us all. What is keeping you from having revival? It's certainly not God. Circumstances is not keeping us. The problem of not having revival is me. And tonight, my prayer is that truly an old-fashioned Holy Ghost, God-sent, sin-killing revival will break out. I preached last night along the lifelines of each person. It deals with each person. I preached these be the names last night. I used three different characters in the Bible. Tonight we're going to look at some characters in the Bible, but I want us to read in James chapter 4 in verse 14. A very familiar scripture. In James chapter 4 in verse 14. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. My brother back in Virginia is a lot younger than me. He is in real bad health. He's on kidney dialysis. And I call him every morning and pray with him and talk to him. And by the way, I prayed for him 30 years to get saved. He got saved just a couple of years ago. 30 years. But his health is terrible, and one of his best friends comes to see him every Saturday or Sunday afternoon, and he come to see him last Sunday afternoon. He told him he thought him and his wife had been split up and was getting back together, and he got a phone call last night he couldn't believe. His best friend, one of his best friends that was there in his home on Saturday night, him and his wife that had split up with their 18-month-old baby in the back seat, got into an argument. He killed his wife, and he killed himself. We're not promised any tomorrows. I was walking in the park this morning, had an incident to happen, won't go through all of that. But let me just say to you, we're not promised any tomorrows. If you're saved and born again, say amen.
Amen.
Well, let me ask you tonight, if we're saved and born again, and we're going to heaven, what about what we're doing here on this earth? The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 8 and verse 5, and if God allow me to just take out of context for a second, I know what this means. But in Zechariah 8:5, and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets thereof. Tonight, I want to preach a message entitled, The Games People Play. The Games People Play. Father, we love you, and God, you are a good and gracious and holy God. And oh God, we need to hear from heaven tonight. God, please tonight empower me. God, tonight, not let it be my words, but yours, God. And Holy Spirit of God, squeeze our hearts tonight. And Lord, may the tears flow like a river. And God, our hearts be broken and humble tonight. Now, God, if it's one without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that you'd save that soul tonight. But God, primarily, this is for God's people tonight. And I pray, Lord, you truly work in a mighty way. And we'll give you the praise, the glory, and honor. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I mentioned last night, I'm an old Virginia boy. And being from Virginia, we used to have to provide our own entertainment. There wasn't a such thing as an internet. We didn't hardly have a TV. And if we had one, we had to go out and turn the antenna by a big pole in the ground, and we didn't have but a couple of channels on the whole thing. So we played outside. It's kind of like preacher's boys. You see them playing outside. They love the outside. We played outside. We played games all the time. Believe it or not, I grew up around girls and boys, and believe it or not, I played hopscotch with the girls. I mean, we just played games. And there was a saying we said when we played a lot of games. It may be in a race, I don't remember exactly, but we would say, one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and four to go. Playing games. The question you need to ask yourself tonight, the question I need to ask myself tonight, are we playing games with God? I believe if we're playing games with God, we're in a very serious situation. And tonight, we need to plow our hearts. We need to ask the Holy Ghost of God to plow our hearts tonight and examine ourselves and ask the question, are we playing games with God? What is keeping me from having revival? What is keeping you from having revival? Let's get started tonight. First of all, we're going to look at one for the money. Take your Bible and turn over to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. I may skip over some scripture because a lot of this is pretty lengthy tonight, but I want you to get the gist of it. Joshua chapter 7, and we're going to pick up in verse 12. Now, Israel had been in a big battle. God had wrought many victories to Israel, and Joshua was leading the way. But all of a sudden, they lose a big battle. And the Bible says that Joshua rent his clothes and he fell on the face of the earth. And basically he said, oh God, what in the world is going on? You know, we need to ask the question sometime. Now, God's not waiting to sit in heaven to zap you and me. But we need to examine ourselves sometimes when things are going bad, when it seems like we're losing the battle, and we need to get on our face and say, God, what's going on? Basically, God tells them right here, he says in the scripture here, you got sin in the camp. You got sin in the camp. Let me just say to you tonight, when you got sin in the camp, one person does not just affect himself. It affects the family. It affects the church. It affects all Christians. It affects us all. How many preachers have failed by the wayside and give preachers a bad name? How many people says, well, it don't affect anybody but me? Oh no, that's a lie from hell right there. It affects us all. So here he is. There's sin in the camp. And now they had stolen what God had told them not to steal. And Joshua basically said, I'm going to get to the bottom of this. Let's pick up in verse 12. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. They had a curse on them. Neither will I be with you anymore, except you destroy the accursed from among you. Let's drop down to verse 16. So Joshua rose up early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the family of Judah and took the family of the Zorahites, and he brought the family of the Zorahites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. And he brought his household, man by man, and Achan the son of Carmi, the son of Zebdi, the son of Zerah of the tribe of Judah was taken. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give I pray thee glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonian garment and 200 shekels of silver and wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I covered them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So God sent messengers. Here we see Achan confesses. He says that I am the one that sinned. I stole these things. I did this, and he named what he did. Joshua sends the messengers, and they go, and they find all the things that were stolen. Verse 25, and Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones, and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Remember what I said. Remember what I said, that sin not only cost that person, but it cost a lot of innocent people. Not only did they get Achan, but it got his family as well. I'm saying to you today, sin cost. And you look at that and you say, boy, what a terrible thing he done. What a terrible thing he done. But the Lord told Joshua, he said, you're cursed. The whole camp is accursed. You got a curse on you. We hear often of those that attempt bank robbery. Wouldn't it be stupid to try to rob a bank the way things are guarded today, and they got cameras everywhere, but they still tried. And you hear so-and-so, boy, they robbed a bank. And they go in front of the judge, and the judge finds them guilty. They are cursed, and they pull time for that. You say, you know, that's awful. I can't stand a thief. I don't like thieves myself. I can't stand a thief. Now, how many want to say amen on that? But let me ask you a question. What about when we rob God? Where's this going? What about when we rob God? Flip with me over for just a moment in Malachi chapter 3. You're sitting there saying, oh yeah, let's hang them. Let's electrocute them. I can't stand a thief. But let me ask you today. Now let's have revival here. Let's have revival. Let me ask you something today. Are you robbing God? I don't know anybody what gives what here. I have no idea. All I know is what my wife and I give unto the Lord. And I'm asking a question today to all of us. Are we robbing God? What's the Bible says? In Malachi 3:8, will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? I've never robbed God a penny. I've never robbed him at all. He says, in tithes and offerings. He said, you're cursed with a curse. For ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, I love the next verse. I had been saved just a very short time. And I told Kathy, I said, she tried to explain to me about tithing. I said, man, I know I'm saved. And I just had gotten saved. But this stuff of giving 10% to God, I don't know about that stuff. So anyway, we got tax money back. I ain't never left tithing no more. We got a big, humongous tax check. Tithes off of that tax check would have been $385. Cat said, we need to tithe that. I said, oh no, we ain't tithe that. Man, I done paid tithes. I ain't doing that. God is my witness. 2 days later, the furnace broke down. Guess what it cost to fix the furnace? $385 down to the penny. I told Kathy, I said, please write that check, tithe it, and get it in a hurry. I have never, ever, and we've given abundantly, and I don't say that, but let me just ask ourselves. Are you robbing God? Are you robbing God? You need to ask yourself the question. I had a lady one time say, will you pray for me? Will you pray for me? She said, my finances are in a mess, and you pray for me. I said, well, ma'am, let me ask you a question. Are you tithing? She said, well, no, I can't afford to tithe. I said, I can't pray for you. Amen. She said, why can't you pray for me? I said, you got a curse on you. She did. You got a curse on you. Now, I'll pray that you start giving, and I'll pray for you then, but you can't. Hey, I can't pray when you got a curse on you. Hey, listen, you're robbing God. Now, we can sit here and shout it out. Oh, this is good preaching, preacher. I give. Hallelujah. That first point, I got it. But let me ask you something. Are you tithing your time? Are you tithing your time?
Yes, sir.
Oh, there's 168 hours in a week. Are you giving a minimum of 16.8 hours? Now, I know tithes are just beginning. I understand that. That's a different story. But what I'm trying to say tonight is, how much time are you giving to the Lord? Now, we want revival, say amen. Then we got to plow it up. Hey, you say, I'm going to give you some stuff here. Now, pastor gets a little long-winded sometimes. So we're going to say on Sundays. You in church? 3 hours Sunday morning. And going through the book of Hosea. We're here an hour and a half on Sunday nights. Amen. But hold on. We just got 5 hours right here. I'm going to give you 2 hours coming back and forth to church. Now, we're up to 7 hours. But we got an hour and a half on Wednesday nights. And I'm going to give you an hour going back and forth to church again. Do the math. Do the math. How many hours is that? How many? Not enough. That's a good point. I can't add it up real quick either.
Nine and a half.
Let's take a minute. You read your Bible 30 minutes a day. You pray. Let's say you put in 12, 13 hours a week. Are we truly tithing unto the Lord our time? I think it's got real quiet. It's got real quiet all of a sudden. Hey, do we want revival? Then we got to get it all. One for the money. Now let me ask you about your talent. God give everybody here gifts. And I don't have time to go through that tonight. but are using the gift or gifts God's given you for his honor and glory. I can't do nothing. Remember what I said last night? One person slew 800 at one time. Tonight we need to ask ourselves, are we doing what God gave us for him? So one for the money. Let's ask ourselves the question, are we being honest tonight, or are we robbing God in any area of our lives? Let's move on. Two for the show. Take your Bible and turn to Acts chapter 5. Acts chapter 5. You know, let me just say tonight, God's not interested so much in what you brag about you're going to do, what you're going to say. He's interested in what you're doing. And we see here now, we want to back up just for a verse here in Acts chapter 5. We want to just back up for just a moment. In Acts 4, where there was a man, and he sold all his possessions, and he gave it unto the Lord. And we see there in verse 37, having land, sold it, and brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. He gave everything he had to God. He gave it all. He didn't have to. We just talked about tithes and offerings. Hey, he didn't have to do that, but he did. But then we see what happened to two named Ananias and Sapphira. But a certain man, verse 5, verse 1, named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price. His wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not in thy own power, not thine own, and after it was so, was it not in thine own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thine heart? Thou hast not lied unto men, but unto God. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all them that heard these things. And the young man rose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. Afterwards, about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that ye have agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, and shall carry thee out. Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. Now he was a man in chapter 4, sold everything and he gave it to the Lord. That was wonderful. That was great. Ananias and Sapphira, they sold their possessions, but they kept part of it. Now, it wasn't a thing wrong with them keeping what they had. They were giving it, but they lied about it and said they gave all they had. You know what they did? They gave with the wrong heart. They lied what they had gave. And I'm telling you, they start bragging, yeah, look what we give. Yeah. Hey, I'd rather be that widow woman that give those couple of mites. Amen. 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 Hey, listen, they lied. They were proud. Brothers and sisters, let me tell you something. The Bible makes it very plain. He says in Proverbs 6 and verse 17 and 18, these six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. A proud look. Listen, they lied and they were full of pride. God hates pride. Let me tell you something tonight. We want revival. Now let's get on our face tonight and say, God, I'm not worthy. God, please forgive me. Hey, you got sin in your life tonight? I'm talking to all of us now. I'm talking to all of us. We got sin in our life. We need to get on our face and say, oh God, I got sin. I got to get rid of this, God. Pastor had Lord's Supper communion on Sunday night. It was a serious thing. Hey, it's a serious thing. We're not playing games tonight. We're getting real about God. We want revival. Do we really want it? Then we need to get on our face. And we need to ask God to make sure our hearts are clean and pure. You know, when we start showboating, when we start showing pride, God doesn't like it. Remember what I said, it's not about what you say. It's not about what you say you're going to do. It's about doing it. And God's keeping a record. God knows your heart. God knows what's going on. God knows He loves a cheerful giver. God loves those that love Him. Hey, God knows all those things. About 30 years ago, back down south, it was an evangelist holding revival. Place was packed out. In those days, revivals were very big, and the place was packed out, and the preacher hit on hell. He started hitting on hell. And on the back row, there was a teenage boy, probably around 19 years old, maybe 20, and had his girlfriend. He wanted to show off. He wanted to impress his girl. Preacher was preaching on hell and giving the invitation. And at the end of the service, the pastor and the preacher was back there, and the boy walked up with his girlfriend and he sniggled and he says, "Preacher, just how far is it to hell? Just how far is it to hell?" Preacher didn't say anything, didn't impress his girlfriend. Preacher and the pastor said, "Let's go out and get something to eat." Right there at the church, they went and got something to eat. And all of a sudden, they heard a commotion outside. There was a car turned upside down. And that was the boy and his girlfriend in that car. And they all run outside in horror. And they said they'd never forget, but that boy was screaming, "I didn't mean it! I didn't mean it!" And that car exploded and burned them up. Right there. The pastor, the preacher said, I can't eat. Let's go back to the church. They went back to the church. Preacher told that pastor, he says, "I couldn't answer that boy a few minutes ago how far was it for him, but I measured your speedometer. It was exactly a mile and a half to hell for that boy." I'm telling you today, it's a serious thing to fall in the hands of a living God. It's a serious thing when you start playing games for God, with God. Hey, one for the money, two for the show. But let's go on now. Three to get ready. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. The games people play. Daniel chapter 3. Now let's pick up again a long, very familiar story about three Hebrew boys. And we look at these Hebrew boys, and of course we know them very well. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now we know the back of the story is, and because of time, we know that they had built a statue and they were to bow down when they heard the music. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was young lads. They said, "We're not going to bow down." Well, now they go tell the king. Tell them what's going on. So in verse 13, then Nebuchadnezzar is in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up?" He goes on and tells them that. And he goes on to say in the middle of verse 15, "If ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fire furnace." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said unto the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." Well, this just made the king furious now. In fact, he goes on to tell him to heat it up seven times more in verse 19. He takes his best men, and they are wrapped and they're clothed and all of this, and they put Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in that fire furnace. But look what happened. It slew those men. It killed those men. Verse 23, "And these three men, Shadrach and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the burning fire furnace." They said, "Hey, if God wants us to live, we praise God. If God wants us to die, we still praise God. But we will die for our God. We're going to die for him. We're willing to die." And now the furnace is turned up wide open. And we see those other men that put them in there were destroyed. They were slew. But there's Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego. Would you like to have been on a fly on a wall? Verse 24, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors." Can you see it now? He said, did we cast three men bound in the midst of the fire? They answered, "Oh," said unto the king, "true king." I can see him now. He's rubbing his eyes. "Hey, come here. Come here." He said, "Did we not cast them three boys in that fire furnace?" He says, "Look yonder." And they all staring. They all looking. They said, "Did we not cast them?" Yeah, king, that's what we did. He answered and said, "Lo, I see the four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. Of the fourth is like the Son of God." Hallelujah, praise God. Boy, that's a wonderful story, ain't it? Those three Hebrew boys were willing to die. They proved their love. Three to get ready. You're sitting there tonight and you say, "Yeah, I do the same thing. I do the same thing. I'm willing to die for God." Now, are we having revival? Are we trying to have revival here? Now, I ask just one simple question. How can we say we're willing to die for him when we don't live for him? How can we say we're willing to die for him if we're not willing to live for him? If we're not willing to do, we talked about cleaving to the Word of God last night. If we're not willing to cleave to the Word of God, if we're not doing willing to do what thus saith the Lord, then how can we say? We got a lot of Peter in us, don't we?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
"Oh Lord, the rest of them may deny you, but I never will. I die for you." here, what did Peter do? Peter ended up cursing him in a little while. We said he's on the south cussing. He cussed him. He cussed God. Now listen tonight. Search your heart. Forget about saying, I'm willing to die for it. Just say, are you willing to live for it? Are you willing to live for it? One for the money. Two for the show. Three to get ready. We're on the home stretch. Stick with me. Four to go. Look with me in Mark chapter 2. I love the stories of the Bible. I love them so much, and I love to talk about it. Now, I can tell you here, we're going to read just for a moment, and we talk about there was press there. There was all people gathered around to see Jesus. No room. And then we see here in verse 3, and they come to him bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easy to say to the sick or the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise and take up thy bed and walk. But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. He up to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, rise and take up thy bed, and go thy way into thy house. And immediately he rose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it yet on this fashion. Now, I'm going to make a statement tonight. This is one of the few characters in the Bible that I know they weren't Baptists. You're looking at me kind of funny. They weren't Baptists because they tore the roof up. They didn't say, we got to form a committee.
Yeah.
We got to get a committee. We got to vote on it. We got to vote on it. How much is it going to cost? I made that up, of course, but ain't that kind of what we Baptists do? Hey, they were willing, and notice what Jesus says, their faith. It was all their faith. Let me just tell you tonight, if we would have revival, if we would do simple things, like take a gospel track of Majesty Baptist Church. If we would invite folks and get on our face and cry out to God, listen, you know what? It took all of them to get that man down there. One person, let me tell you something, preacher can't do it all. Neither is he supposed to do it all. It takes us all in serving God. It takes us all. So tonight, I want you to close your Bibles. I want you to search your hearts tonight. One for the money. Maybe you got tithing down as far as money. Maybe you got that down. But what about your time? What about your talent or the gift God's given? Are you using that for His honor and glory? You see, we can't have revival as long as we got stuff. Or a better word is sin in our lives. Let's call it for what it is. Two for the show. Are you bragging about what you're doing for God? Or are you just humble and serving God with all your heart, with all your mind, and with all your soul? Three to get ready. God's not asking you to die for him tonight. He wants you to live for him. He wants to be first place. That's all. If we'd be honest, we got a lot of Peter, as I said, in us. Remember what Peter had to do, didn't he? He had to go back. Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? Lovest thou me? That's what Jesus said. Let me ask you, do you love Jesus tonight? Do you love him? Let's get on our face tonight. And let's get serious. Four to go. Three to get ready and four to go. Tonight, I still believe with all my heart. It's been almost a year since I walked through the door. It's hard to believe. It's been about 10 months now since we walked through that door for the first time. God wants to do something great here. God wants to do something. I'm convinced. I'm convinced. And you're the ones that God wants to use. But to be used, you got to be usable. You got to be usable. You go out yonder in your car and you can sit there all night long. But until you pull that thing out of park and go into drive, you can't go. Until you get yourself and pull yourself out of park and put it in gear, you can't go. Every head bowed and every eye closed. This message was just as much from me as anyone here tonight. Ask yourself the question today. Ask yourself the question tonight. One for the money. Two for the show. Three to get ready. And four to go. Are you playing games with God? He knows right now. He knows your heart. He knows you better than you know yourself. We must, to have revival, we must examine our own hearts. It's not about my brother or sister. It's about me, O Lord. Father, we love you. God, speak to our hearts tonight. Have your willing way. God, I've said all that can be said tonight. Holy Spirit of God, you work. And may the Lord tonight, may these people reply according to what each individual needs in their life to truly have revival. What is keeping them? What is keeping me? What's keeping all of us for having revival? With every head bowed and every eye closed.